Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. We believe small actions can have great impact. Take a small action today. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Now, more than 1,000 families applied to homeschool their children in August and September of this year. The new figures from TÚSLA are reported in the Irish Times today. And let's speak first to the paper's education editor, Carl O'Brien. In a moment, I'll also be joined by Jan Rin, who is a mother of two who isn't sending her children to school at the moment because she is in a very high-risk category if she contracts COVID. But she's been told that her children are not entitled to remote tuition because they're not very high risk themselves. First, though, I want to go to yourself, Carl. 1,000 families in August and September alone, a huge increase in the same period last year.
It is a huge increase. So if you looked at August and September of 2019, you would have had about 150 applications from parents to homeschool their children. In the same period this year, that's jumped to 1,060. So you're talking about an increase which is in the region of 600%. And in normal times, homeschooling, it's a very much a niche thing. It's people who have philosophy, who want to educate their children at home. But of course, the big growth this year, the key driver behind it, we understand, is this fear of COVID-19, particularly among families where there are high-risk family members. Mm.
And of course, it's not as simple as just saying, you're not going to school this morning, I'm going to start doing this myself. You have to get on the official home education register. Is that difficult?
It's not difficult, although the process does take some time. Now, from the moment that you apply and send a registered letter to TÚSLA stating that you wish to homeschool your child, you are, from that moment, able to begin homeschooling your child. However, in the background, there is a screening and a processing procedure that takes place, and that can take a long period of time. And because of this dramatic increase in numbers, that's going to take even longer. So at the moment, there is a backlog of about 1,300 families waiting to be screened by TÚSLA. But that process can involve your home visit from TÚSLA to make sure that the home is an appropriate setting. They also ask questions around the nature of what type of home education you're going to be providing and how you're going to assess the progress of your children over that period of time. But certainly, there's nothing to stop a family homeschooling their child from the moment they make contact with TÚSLA itself.
And in terms of your chances then of getting on the register and what qualifies you to be allowed to do it, is it right then that children aren't allowed to get remote tuition unless they're very high risk themselves?
Yeah, this is a key area of controversy since schools have reopened. So remote tuition is really limited to a very small number of children, and they are children who themselves are labelled and certified as being of very high risk, and that involves certain types of medical conditions. So only they can receive ongoing remote tuition. No such provision is available to children who have a family member within the wider setting who is at very high risk. And that obviously has become a key issue of concern around many families around the country. Now, the Department of Education would argue that the public health advice on this is very clear. They would say that it is safe for children to return to families even where there is a high-risk family member. And they say that on balance, it is better for children to take precautions but to still be in school, to avail of the benefits of being in school and socialising and having their academic development kind of properly assessed. But that's the clear advice of the minister. However, there are many, many families out there who say that that system is just too rigid. It doesn't take account of the vulnerabilities within families. And many of these families say, we cannot take a risk that our child will bring COVID into a home and which could have catastrophic impacts on another child who might be at high risk, or a family member, or someone who's been cared for.
Okay, well, stay with us, Carl, because we're going to talk to one of those families now. As I said, Jan Rin is waiting there patiently on the line. And I know, Jan, that you have founded a group that's called Forgotten Families. Can you tell us about your own situation first? You're in a very high-risk category, is that right?
Yeah, hi, Sarah. Good evening. So personally, I have a condition called CLL, or chronic lymphocytic leukemia. It's an incurable blood cancer, and I manage my disease. I'm on a clinical trial, actually, in the UK for a novel therapy, so I take medication every day. It's effectively a cancer of the immune system, so you can imagine something like COVID is considered a really great threat to us.
And you have two children. They didn't go back to school in September.
No, I've actually got four children.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah, well, it's fine because my two older kids had to leave the home because they wanted to protect me. So they're gone since the start of the summer. They're 18 and 20. A little bit young to be out on their own, but we had to weigh up the risk-benefit ratio on that one. So the two kids who are remaining with me are 13 and 15, first year and third year. And they haven't returned to school.
Okay, and the reason for that, quite obviously, really, I suppose, is that you are concerned that if they're in school, there's a much higher chance that they may bring home the virus to your house.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we're going on international studies. Patients with my personal condition don't do well with COVID. Up to 90% are hospitalised. There's around about a 36% mortality risk on it. So for us as a family, we had to weigh that up very significantly. And, you know, the kids have bought into that because we've been so careful since March. We've done our cocooning. You know, everything is mitigated. Every risk is mitigated as far as we're concerned. And we would have liked some support from the Department of Education when we made this decision to keep them at home.
And what do you make then of the line from the department, which is that, you know, schools are a safe place effectively?
Well, you know, I'm not a public health expert. All I can say is that if there is COVID in the school, and to me it doesn't really matter if it's through community transmission or if they contracted it in the school. From my perspective, if it's in the school and my son or my daughter are sitting beside somebody who's infected with COVID and they bring it into our house, it could have catastrophic results. And don't forget, on my children also, because, you know, God forbid something terrible should happen to me, they would have to carry the impact of that, the consequences of that impact. And that's what really prompted our decision to keep them home.
Sure, it's such a stressful situation for everybody in the family, really, isn't it? And you're not alone either. As I said, you've set up this group, the Forgotten Families group, and a lot of people there are in similar situations to yourself. Are there many in the group?
Yeah, so we've dozens of families now across the disease spectrum. So, you know, the HSC have decided to label us into high risk and very high risk. And that's fine. And for the majority of people who are in our group at the moment are very high risk. But I probably would argue that, you know, by extension, I would think that anybody who wants a remote learning plan for their children because they're concerned about COVID should effectively be given it. And, you know, there are so many families across the country with different situations, all really heartbreaking, really stressful stuff going on out there at the moment. And, you know, it's not an easy decision to decide to keep your child home from school. Sure. It comes with lots of consequences. And the fact that the Department of Education haven't ruled on this or mandated on this has actually exacerbated our feelings of stress and isolation, a disconnection from school and school community.
Okay, so hopefully there will be some clarity in relation to it soon. But thank you very much for joining us this evening. That's Jan Rin, and my thanks also to Carl O'Brien, Education Editor with the Irish Times.